Welcome, everybody, to the third episode of The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson, and sadly, there's no Tim today because we are changing things up a bit. This is the Ladies' Night episode of the pod, where the gals from Psych come to talk about the new movie, Psych 3, This Is Gus. Today, we have the incredible Kirsten Nelson, a.k.a. Chiefic, and Jasmine Simon, a.k.a. Salene, Gus's wife and the mother of his child, in Psych and in real life. We are so excited to talk about the movie. We're going to laugh about good times, cry about the good times, and share our favorite memories with all of you. We had so much fun. You know that's right. You know I just stole that from Dulé Hill. But anyway, you know that's right. This is our Psych 3, Psych the Movie 3, This Is Gus movie special. And it's actually just one psychologist this time, moi, because it's ladies' night. I have two of my most favorite, beautiful, wonderful people here joining me. And I'm going to start with Jasmine. who, on top of everything that she does, this wonderful woman, wife, mother, actress, now author, which is the coolest thing, which I just recently learned about. You want to tell us about your new title?
Yes. Well, now my head is bigger, so thank you. Yes. So 431 days ago to the day, I got a book deal at Random House to write a book that had lived in my heart for a very long time. It was based on a conversation that I had with my daughter, Kennedy, which you all know. And it's a book called Most Perfect You. And it's about children and also the parents reading the book. It is a reminder to love all the things that make you you, that everybody is unique and individual, and that they're on purpose, and that they are perfect just the way that they are. So that will be being released in stores on May 3rd. Now, the funny thing about May 3rd is that's going to be my book's birthday, but it's also Dulé's birthday.
Oh, so
it's
going to be. Wait a minute. This is lining up really well.
Wow.
Yes. So it's a very special day for birthdays in this house this coming May 3rd, 2022.
That's
so yes,
so
Most Perfect You. So everybody, if you want to do Dulé a big solid, go pre-order the book for his birthday.
You guys, you heard say, it. The best thing you could give Dulé for his birthday is pre-ordering Jasmine's book ASAP.
That's what, I mean, I'm sure that's what he wants. He wants nothing more. And also, since we know that Salene was pregnant at the end of the second Psych movie, I can only assume that this book is going to be baby Guster's favorite book. Obviously.
Obviously. It already is.
Obviously.
Kirsten.
What? Hello.
Kirsten Nelson, also one of the most wonderful people I know, wife, mother, actress, and also director. One of the most powerful experiences I've had working, and one of my most favorite directors I've ever worked with. Also, part of our big ladies' night bonding on this movie, I love Juliet and the Chief, our whole journey together and everything. I love both of you so much. And welcome. Welcome to ladies'
Yay.
Night.
We love you.
Anything you want to add, Kirsten?
It's cue music now. Feeling right.
Yeah.
It's ladies' night.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, what a night.
Hey.
No, that I think was just such a nice thing when we were in the trailer getting ready for that day. Getting ready at what was it, like 2 p.m?
Yeah,
when we
for
started.
Our night.
We were like, yeah, for our night shoot, since we have to shoot all night. That we came into the makeup trailer and they had our jams going and it was just really funky. And it was like, it just felt like us, you know, and they were setting it up for success for the rest of the evening. I mean, we knew it was going to be a long night. It was a long week. It was a long week already.
It was a long experience already because, I mean, I don't know for you guys. I know for me, this was my first time back to work in the pandemic because I would like to say it was post-pandemic, but we were still very much in it. And we had to quarantine in Canada for 2 weeks. And Jasmine, you had come from Atlanta, right?
I did. I had been in Atlanta for 5 months shooting my TV show on Netflix. And so I went straight from the frying pan right into the skillet. So I left one COVID protocol and then went to Canada with my family, with Levi, who was he had just turned 2 years old. He had just turned two, and Dule, and our nanny, because both of us are in the movie, so who was going to watch Levi?
Yeah.
And we quarantined for 2 weeks. And, you know.
Which was also, speaking to the having nanny and you guys both being in the movie, we couldn't have guests. And Levi was considered, right?
Yeah.
Was he allowed? He wasn't allowed to come to set.
No, he was not. He was not allowed to come to set, which is so sad, because when you're away from your kid for, you know, 12, 13 hours a day, you would like them to see, like, this is what I'm doing. And guess what? There's craft services, which is all of our favorite part. He didn't even get to watch his fruit snack. He couldn't come. He couldn't go. And I get it. We were in charge of making sure everybody stayed safe. You know, the cast is well protected, and we wanted to make sure that we protected everybody else. And so he didn't get to come.
At the same time, we wanted to make sure that Levi was going to be well protected.
Exactly.
Because we all knew coming in, we're all vaccinated. We are all, you know, at various stages, either a one shot or a two shot that we knew coming to Canada. And I'm sure Canadian protocols were very, very different than what Jazz was experiencing in Atlanta here on the US side. Canadian protocols were very different. But with the start of Delta and that whole variant coming through, we're like, Levi's too young. Levi's still a baby. Yeah. We need to protect him.
Okay, so we'll come back to all of our quarantines in a second. But Jasmine, you had this app of Levi that he could hear your voice. But we got to benefit from it as well, because we would have these like sweet moments where we'd all just be like, oh, night-night Levi. Levi was taking his nap. And Levi, so she would have this app going all that I don't know how. And Kirsten, you too, and especially in the early days of psych, like how you guys did it or were doing it. But it was some of my favorite time on set. I still say night-night Levi.
Night-night Levi.
Just out loud sometimes.
I feel like this podcast should be sponsored by Nanit, because that is the baby monitor that we got to all talk to Levi all day. And you're right. It is always a challenge. And I can only imagine how Kirsten did it when her baby was, she had a new 16 baby.
16 years ago. 15 years ago.
Yeah, 15 years ago with a new baby and a baby in L.A., so you have to kind of divide and conquer with your husband. And luckily in this movie, Dule and I were together with Levi, but we had to leave Kennedy at home, who was 16 at the time. So it's always, you know, a tug of war of trying to figure out how to make work-life balance a reality. And sometimes it just doesn't work out the way you want it to. And sometimes it does when you have stuff like the Nanit and you can tell Levi night-night. You know, it is a sweet moment in our day that we get to just break away, add a character, and see Levi, who loves you both. And I'm glad that we're talking about this on Ladies Night, because a lot of times we don't get to express how actually hard it is.
I swear, I don't know how you did it. And I mean, we weren't in COVID, obviously, at the beginning of psych, but the way you guys have stayed so connected to your kids, your family, and everything during all of this is always just, I've in awe of both of you.
Well, I think for me, when we were doing it initially, for you too, Jasmine, is that I kept reminding myself, this is not forever, that this is a moment in time and these children are going to be with us for their entire life. Psych, each episode, each day of work, that's just a day. And it might be really hard, and weeks being gone from them was terrifying, you know, because you don't know what they're doing at home as far as like their growth, their experiences that you want to be a part of, like Kennedy staying home when she couldn't join us, and my Henry when he was home and he didn't join me in those early days of psych, because he stayed home with dad because he was still in school. But I just kept reminding myself, in order to mentally get through it, it's not forever. It's just a moment in time. This too shall end. This too shall pass. And, you know, it's not thing hokey of like, yo, we'll all be stronger for it, because it hurts at the time. But, you know, for me, my baby could come to set. Lena could come to set when she was little. The nanny would find me every 3 hours, say, hello, it's time to feed your baby. Oh my God, but I'm in the middle of a scene. Feed your baby now.
Yeah.
You know, But yeah, we balance a lot, especially when we were, you know, when we're mamas. Mm. But everybody balances a lot with animals, with lovers, with children. and we decide that we want to go work.
Yeah.
As well, because that's part of who we are as well.
And also, we don't want to be broke. I mean, I was a single parent for a long time. And so more than it just being a day, it's like, well, I have children that I need to support.
Yeah.
And school is expensive and college is expensive. And like, it hurts so much sometimes to be on set when you have a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old. Right. It's hard. And even a 16-year-old, because you're like, what is she doing? I want to be involved. I want to know. I'll be nosy. But then also we have to work. We live in an economy that doesn't allow one person to support a family of four. That's just not not the way that it is. And so we pull up our bootstraps and we do what we got to do. And I just want to give a shout out to all the moms that are listening, because it is a really hard, stinking job. And I am saying that it is a hard job, and you are doing a great job, and a mom's mind never stops working. It's like, it just never, you can never, it's hard to articulate, but you can never turn off your mind once you become a mom. Like, you're laying down in bed and you're thinking about the to-do list for the next day and what your children need. And as an actor, we're trying to run lines in our heads. I wake up sometime in the middle of the night running lines. Like, oh God, where am I? Okay, I need to remember that. All right, you know? And so shout out to all the moms that are out there. You're doing a great job. And us ladies of Psych love you so much and appreciate that you're listening to this. And give yourself a hug today.
You know, some people who might be listening to this think, well, actors, they've got everything, you know, they have everything at their fingertips, you know. I know. But, you know, the hard truth was season 2 of Psych. That's season 1. I would go back and forth with the baby. I was her main food source. I was her main caregiver. So Lena flew with me everywhere. And then I would fly home. Season 2, Lena and I moved up together while my husband stayed home with our son so he could finish out the school year because of Psych's shooting schedule. And so in those early days when we would have 15, 16-hour days, I don't just get to go home when those long shooting days are over. I put on a different hat because now I'm single parent. And it's just, you work differently. I was like, oh, well, I get to relax now. No, you don't get to relax. You never get to relax. You have somebody else who's caring for you, who's depending on you beyond anything. So those days as single parents, and Jasmine knows very clearly, whether or not you have someone else in your life that is a great source of friendship or a partner that you can lean on. But in the end, you're putting that baby to bed. You are doing everything. And finding those moments where you can find the strength to relax and to try to remember to run your lines the next day, you find it in the margins.
Mm-hmm. That was the other thing too, watching you guys throwing a pandemic on top of everything you're already juggling, and this new world of like self-tapes. And also trying to, like, it's not just Psych. It's also like trying to line up the next thing and hustling and doing all that at the same time. Both of you, all of you, and how you do it so easily. I feel like,
it's not easy.
I didn't mean easily. You make it look easy.
That's what I'm saying. We're tricking you. Every mother is tricking you. It's like we are always shocked. Like, oh man, I can't believe I pulled that off again. Right, Kirsten? It's like, wow.
You mark it off the calendar. Like, wow, I did it.
I did it. And look, and Kirsten touched on it for a second. We get to bring joy and laughter to people's life, especially with Psych. Psych is just like such a special, special show with fairy dust all around it. And it makes people so happy. And so we're the fortunate ones that get to come in and just have fun. And it's a sisterhood and it's a family. And at the end of the day, we create a product that people are really going to just devour because they need something in their life to make them happy. So we have the easier end of the deal, right? We get to go. It just doesn't, what we're trying to say, it doesn't make it easier that we're right there in the ditch with you. We're digging the ditch with you. We're right there every day. We all had to live through COVID times and worrying about our health and our family. And so really, we hope that you like Psych 3.
Yeah, that's where we are. So yes, we really hope you like Psych 3. But also, I know for me coming out of this, I want to say coming out of this pandemic as if it's like, but obviously it's still very much here in June when we did this. But like coming back into work, coming back into a set full of people, you were touching on this, Jasmine, like this sort of fairy dusty kind of thing. There was something in this one that felt even another level of that. And I don't know if it's the fact that we all did just go through this pandemic together and we were coming in, we were all sharing our experiences of our first 2 weeks being quarantined in our homes and our whatever. But having the two of you from starting out when we first got to Canada to talk about this experience, to talk about like COVID and also what they kind of wrote for us to have together, which there's even more I know that that we got to do. So luckily we got to have the experience. It's not even in the movie, but but it was so, so special. And I feel like, you know, Jasmine, I'm so curious too, like what, had you seen Psych prior to like, that's what I wondered.
I had, you know, funny enough, I met Dule having never seen anything that Dule was in. So I had never watched The West Wing. I take that back. I did see Holes, like bits and pieces, but not, you know.
Holes, oh my gosh.
He could fix that.
Yeah. He could fix that. But I'd never watched West Wing and I never watched Psych. And so when I met Dule, I met him cold, which was great because I didn't have any pre-existing ideas about who this person was. And so I hadn't watched Psych until maybe a year after dating him. And I was like, let me watch one. And I watched the pilot and I remember thinking, damn, this is long. Because I guess it was supposed to be a movie.
Really?
It was a movie, right? It was like a...
Was the pilot supersized?
It was.
Yeah. And I was like, what were they doing? They were doing this every week. And Dule was like, oh no, that's... And he explained. And I was like, okay. Because I was like, damn, this is a long episode of TV. And you guys all looked 12 years old. And so...
Because we were.
And Maggie, you looked so different
in the pilot. I looked so different in the pilot.
Weird.
I mean,
you guys were... Well, you too, Kirsten, because you were pregnant. Okay, everybody looked different. James had that weird hair, and it was just a lot of stuff going on. So I hadn't watched it. And so fast forward, I get a call from James saying, hey, would you like to be in a Psych movie? And I was like, yes, I would. And so then Dule said, these are the episodes that you need to watch. This is going to catch you up to speed. And he made me a list. And he was like, these are the ones. And I watched them and I just remember almost peeing on myself laughing. Like, it was just so funny. And it didn't seem like, even though the outfits and the hairstyles were different, it could have just been right now. Do you know, it took me out of like 2019 or 2018, whenever I watched them, 2017. It didn't matter. And you guys were just so funny. And I was like, I can't wait to do this.
Do you remember which episodes?
I can probably look on my Amazon. I just remember it was one. It was one where, because he bought them on Prime for me. Like he bought the episodes. Okay. It was one where he got in a fight with himself in the office and made like a humongous mess. Like he had murdered somebody,
I think.
And then he made like a huge mess in the office.
Office space.
And then one where he fell in love with a girl and she was a murderer. He wanted me to see him in bad relationships because I was coming in.
What's the one with Kelly? Not Kelly.
Carrie Washington?
Carrie.
Yeah, there's something about Mira.
Yes, that is Mira. Yes. That's exactly. And I was like, well, let me just say, I was so impressed by the level of talent you guys had on every episode. I'm like, Carrie Washington?
Yeah. What?
You know, you guys just had amazing guest stars, and that just speaks to the quality of the show, that you got people to come for 8 seasons and just do your show,
And that was funny that you bring that up, because I remember driving, I think we were in the van driving home after a long, long day, and Tim was in the van, and we were remarking on some wonderful guest star or something that we had, and we were joking. He's like, you realize we could never get cast on this show now. like you and me. And it's like, oh, no. We could never get a guest star on this show because we're not A-list enough to like land a guest star. I was like, yeah, you're right. I think it was, you know, like William Shatner was just popping in. And I was like, you're right. Mm-hmm. We could never get cast on Psych because we're too awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, Felicia Rashad plays your mother? Yeah. What is happening here?
Dueling
like,
dads.
Dueling dads.
Yeah.
Dueling dads.
I'm like, yeah. It's just so, it was, you know, so no, I hadn't watched and then I got caught up to speed. And I was like, okay, I see where we're going with this.
And
let's
then Selene came in and shook it up. It was so fun to get to finally see Gus like have a real match. That was such a fun thing for us to watch. That was the first movie is when we meet you in the planetarium. And look at you all now in Psych 3. So I can say we can have spoilers because...
Perfect, we can.
This will be, yeah, this will come out, I would say like...
After it premieres.
But we can talk about all the fun. We can talk about all of our fun dress-up days.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Wait, I can't.
That is still in. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, great.
We have so many pictures to leak once they finally are out there.
I said they better not cut that. I have 10,000 Christmas photos in my phone. They better not
honestly,
cut that.
That was one of the most fun days, I feel like. Except for Corbin throwing snowballs really hard and not realizing. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he's like Major League all over again. I was like, why are you whipping snowballs at us?
And then I got sick on the barley. Remember? So I was like, oh, done.
That's right. I keep thinking like, oh, ladies' night, Psych 3. What things do you remember? I'm surrounded by food memories.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And that night, it was barley in the soup. And you were like,
I was so worried about you.
Oh, yeah, Maggie, you saved me. Remember? You were like, this is what you need to do. Yeah, you know what, guys? This is a cautionary tale not to eat beef and barley in the middle of the day from craft services. You know, that's a good lesson that I learned. James is like, don't ever do that again. But yeah, so then I'm literally about to burst from the inside. And then Corbin wails you in the head. Now listen, guys, everybody listening, I'm very protective of Maggie.
Oh my God. You're like a little guardian angel to me. Yeah.
And so I'm protective of her just in general 9 to 5, you know, just any given day. So then Corbin thinks he's in the major leagues and wails her with a snowball and I break character. I was like, that's too hard. That's too hard.
I remember that.
She's like, what are you doing? And we were still rolling. I'm sure there's an outtake of that somewhere.
There's got to be.
It's gonna be that was so funny. Wait, that
attitudinal face.
Yeah,
that's
right
the day I got the beef and barley.
That was the day you were sick too?
Yes, that was the beef and barley day.
Because we did everything in one day because we were all in the costumes. We were all in the makeup. We were all in the hair. And we almost didn't do it. Remember that?
That's right.
Because of the rain. Mm-hmm. Oh, guys, it was nothing but drama. It was nothing but drama this day. We are in the middle of nowhere. And when I say nowhere, I mean the middle of nowhere.
We
had driven Boonstown. What is
an hour outside. Remember, we were like in a separate zone. We were outside the zone of Vancouver. So we were like an hour outside at that. We did
Jamestown. Is it Jamestown? Boomstown?
Oh,
Jamestown is not where people die.
Langley.
Jamestown,
I think it was. But we are, let's just bury the lead here. We're in full 1980s outfit, hair, makeup, fully done up in fake snow. And then it starts to rain.
Yeah. And for hours, I remember we had so much fun. Like at the beginning of the day when we first got there, it was like, look at us, look at our hair, look at this whole thing. We had names for each other. We had very 80s names for each other.
Heather.
We were like, Heather.
Megan.
Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we, by like hour 6, because we thought we weren't going to shoot it that day. That's right. And then we ended up, I think, doing it really fast. But Jazz, you were, not feeling so hot. Oh.
The second half of the day, remember, I was like, oh gosh, something I ate. I don't know. And you're like, it was the barley. I know it was the barley. And I was like, I think you're right. Oh my gosh. My stomach is about to explode.
Everything was expanding in the high-waisted 1980s jeans. Everything was expanding that should not have been expanding.
And the barley was like right behind the button.
Yeah.
It's like where the button sat on my stomach, the barley was like, hey, I'm right here and I'm just going to push against you. You know, it was an experience. I learned a lot that day.
And you were smiles all the way through it. Camera rolls and you were just like, hi.
Until I yelled at Corbin.
One of my favorites was you, Kirsten, with Corbin when he's choking and how you give him this look, just kind of like, you know better. Don't do
you know
it.
Better.
Don't do it. Don't do it. And then he does it again.
I think he choked 3 times where I have to get up across the table and give him the Heimlich maneuver. He was so proud. And when he says, hey, let's do this. And we're thinking, time of COVID, let's spit. Let's spit across the table. And all I kept thinking was, please don't hit Dulay in the face with your cheese ball.
And time of COVID.
And it's like, you know, we're face to face and I'm like, oh, it's going to be fine. Don't hit Dulay with the cheese ball, Corbin. Yeah.
But did he? I feel like he got right close to Dulay.
He
I
did
think it landed
times.
On his plate.
I think he hit him a couple of times.
I think so.
You guys, I love the smells of the season. Thanks to Native's new seasonal scents, my favorites are with me wherever I go. Yes, I'm talking about their deodorant. Native deodorant is formulated with ingredients you have actually heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. Native deodorant never uses aluminum, parabens, or sulfates, but still keeps you smelling amazingly fresh all day long. With classics and rotating seasonals, Native has a deodorant scent for everyone, including their new holiday-inspired collection. 'Tis the season for yummy-smelling armpits. Native offers 3 new delectable new scents, candy cane, sugar cookie, and fresh mistletoe. Native is not just good for you, it's good for the planet. They have a deodorant made of 100% paperboard packaging. They are vegan, and they never test on animals. I'm not alone in loving Native. They have over 15,000 5-star reviews. And I know you're going to love them too. Personally, I like the mistletoe flavor because, or I should say mistletoe scent, because who doesn't love a little mistletoe? I like it when I can understand what the ingredients are and also very close to my heart that they do not test on animals. I absolutely love this. Keep the scents of the season with you with Native's limited time holiday scented deodorants. Go to nativedeodorant.com and use code PINEAPPLE to get 20% off your first purchase at checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com, code PINEAPPLE for 20% off. nativedeodorant.com, code PINEAPPLE.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We find out, Jasmine, you're pregnant at the end of Psych 2, then Psych 3. But Kirsten, you were pregnant in the pilot. And then 15 months later, when we got into actually doing the next episode of Psych, you were still pregnant.
I'm like an elephant. It just keeps going.
You both had babies in life. So you both had your babies in life. But then you got to come back and wear your bumps again.
I thought about both of you.
I was like, man.
We're a very forgiving production when they're like, oh, a woman's just had a baby. What is she most worried about now as an actress losing her or regaining her figure, losing that baby weight? They're like, hey, you want to wiggle back into the prego pad? We're like, yes, please.
Yep, thank you.
I don't have to worry about this. It's, you know, and the pacing was wonderful. But yeah, we did the pilot for Psych in November, December. And then I went away, had a baby in January. And then we were back. We got found out we got picked up and we were back in Canada in April. So I had a 3-month-old. And so I was commuting to Vancouver from LA with a 3-month-old. Because I was her food source. But I got to then keep the prego pad on until, what's the name of it? Sean
and the Red Phantom. It's the Comic-Con.
Yeah, the Red Phantom where Lassiter delivers my bebe. But I got to be in the prego pad.
Yeah.
You had a better prego pad, Jasmine.
Well, it was cute.
It was cute. But you got to strap in like a nice little corset instead of wiggling into like a swimsuit.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. I'm gonna tell you, it wasn't comfortable. But then I just didn't have to. I just let it all hang out. So you know, it was like, forget it. Like my boobs just sat right on top of the belly, and I was like, this feels very authentic. This feels very real. So yeah, in psych 2, we hid my pregnancy because I was 9 months pregnant when we shot psych 2, fully pregnant.
It's so crazy to me when I think about what you were doing. That's right. And we actually had to shoot you out by a certain
week
time.
In a week or two.
You were like pushing the limit of like even safety to fly. Like, yeah.
So they've got me in and out by 36 weeks because after 36 weeks, you're 9 months and you can't fly anymore. So I flew home like right when I turned 36 weeks from the second psych movie. But we did all the work to hide the baby. Lots of hiding behind jackets and sitting down. So that movie, I was actually pregnant. And then this movie, I have a, you know, a two-year-old 2 years later, and now I'm pregnant again. So, you know, psych loves to just play mental games on you, you know?
Psych loves pregnant ladies. Maybe that's
they
maybe
do
that's
love pregnant, pregnant ladies. Mm. They do love mm. pregnant ladies.
Mm. 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 We should do another movie in the future.
I think
psych
so.
Likes pregnant ladies.
Maybe.
I know.
Maybe.
Maybe, Maggie. Maybe.
I love that we all got to bond though over that in this and around Salina, and bringing us to like our ladies' night. Like, it was one day and one night, and probably will go down as one of my top memories and favorite days ever on psych, to spend it with both of you. What was also very cute that I think people would love to know is that Dulé and James actually got the day off because we got to have ladies' night, and they spent it together with Levi. What did they went like on a little cruise?
They went to Vancouver Island. They took him to ride Kermit the Frog little machine toy. They got him a donut. They did the ferry. And you
and
know
how do we know all this?
Because they sent us pictures all stinking day.
There you
they
go.
Sent us pictures.
We did the same.
James did not stop sending me pictures and videos. It was
and
like
that's
he was
important to know. It was James sending
it was
you
James.
The pictures. It wasn't
James.
Dulé because James
no.
loves little Dulé and he takes it on him. It's like, oh, I'm gonna show everybody.
Listen, from the day that Levi was born, James has been on the scene as a really strong great uncle. I just remember, I think Levi was maybe 3 weeks old. When did you come, Maggie? You came that day. You and James came.
Yeah.
He was so, so little. And he had, so randomly, he had a chocolate onesie on. And I put it on for James because I knew he would appreciate it. And he said, does his onesie say chocolate? I said, it does. He's like, give me that baby. And he just sat and like held him.
Yeah.
And so since then, James is, you know, he does try very hard to stay present and active in Levi's little life, which I really appreciate. And now that Levi's getting older, he can do fun stuff like take him on a ferry, fill him up with sugar, you know, ply him with donuts. So yeah, we got all those photos while we were at work.
Which was so cute because we were kind of having our own day at work that day.
I was going to say, we laughed, we cried.
Yeah.
Like this is something that we only get to do when it's us, right? We're not crying on set with them dudes, but together we can talk about everything. We can feel everything. We allow each other the space to just be happy or sad or whatever the feelings are. And we felt all of that at 1:45 in the morning. In the middle of nowhere.
And it was like a confluence of emotion. And that was the end of week four. So we'd been there for 4 weeks. We've been shooting for 2 weeks. I think we've all been gone in some shape or form for a month. And knowing what we all had to go through is because we called it passing the baton that night. I remember it's like, all right, here's Juliet. This is Juliet's, you know, backstory. Okay, pass the baton. Okay, give it to the chief. The chief's got to talk about what she's going through. Mm-hmm. And now, okay, we did that. Now pass the
real
baton.
Real quick, wait, no, pause. The most brilliant scene from you.
Pause.
Kirsten.
I agree.
I just remember Maggie and I stood there watching you act.
You guys.
And both of us started to cry.
Both
of us, like, in the scene, teared up. It was just such fantastic work from you.
I can tear up thinking about it just right now. And also knowing kind of knowing you and all of our stories and all of the years and all of the time and everything we've all been through, there was something about that moment and that scene, you going where you were going with it, I think it just hit us all. On top of the tears we had already shared that day.
Already, right. Yeah, and yeah. And when you just can't stop the emotions and when you can't stop the tears and you're like, I think I'm fine. But yet all of this is coming up. And then to carry it into that scene, which I don't think I could have done if I didn't know I had you two to receive it and that I could talk to you about what it's like to work and work and work. And then you second guess about, you know, is somebody there at home for me? What am I giving up so I can work and work and work? And it's a constant question that we have of when we pull ourselves so thin. And I knew that I could maybe find that realism because I wasn't looking at Juliet and Salem. I was looking at Maggie and Jasmine. And if acting is reacting, I knew that I could find that gift from you two. But it was such a moment, and that it's definitely one of my all time favorite moments. You know,
it was so real. It was so grounded. It was so truthful. It was so seamless. It was just like there are certain scenes in certain portions of a show, any show, movies, whatever, where you just get drawn in and you can understand and see everything that the actor is going through. And that's what you did. And it just was heartbreaking and beautiful all at the same time. So you guys, when you watch the camping scene, just know that on the other side of Kirsten's acting is Maggie and I crying.
And the fact that we were able to do this kind of stuff in Psych 3, I think it was Corbin that mentioned that this is a grown-up. Psych is growing up. And we are that glitter joy, that bubble, you know, sunshine, laughter, the escapism that Psych has offered for so, so long. And it's a wonderful gift to be here. But we're actually being able to delve into other issues. We're delving into deeper issues. We're delving into how old do you think we are?
Yeah.
You know, and where we are in our lives and where where Selene and Gus are. We're all at new stepping points. And because we've been here, it's been a gift that Steve and James allowed us to go there.
Absolutely. I also, and to throw, you know, even though he's not here today because he wanted us to have a ladies' night just for us. But Tim,
his journey.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And everything that they have written to, I think I feel like this movie does feel like we are, it's a next level. I've told James and Dulé too. I feel like even their level of comedy, what they're doing going from, you know, we know they're both geniuses, but this is another level. Everything is. Even in Jasmine, you playing all the emotion of all this, but also the hilarity of that labor scene, which like watching and how many times. So guys, we shot that scene for 2 days, two full days. And Jasmine,
like, hey, what's on the schedule today?
Yeah.
The labor scene.
Yeah.
Still. We're still there.
Birth. All day. And all you is still giving birth. But there is a fine line, you know, when you're playing such a moment. I gotta say, Dulé too, just the emotion of what's going on and the comedy of it, and to be believable as both characters, knowing what you guys have gone through, what you're going through in the scene, like it is so good. It's so good. And watching, like, Kirsten and I got to, you know, we just get to come in and squeal and be so excited. And we're behind that screen half the time. I know. But, like, what you were doing for 2 days.
But I got to watch it, too, because I was Ray Weiss and Kurt Smith. So when, remember when they're bringing in the laptops? So in the final product,
fun fact.
Seamless. Fun fact. So there's Father Wesley and there's Kurt Smith. No, that was me on the day. And did you read some of the parts too, Maggie? I think you were.
I don't think I did. I want to give all credit to you there. Hashtag team player. I was just watching and laughing.
And I was so I was like in that room. I was in the room where it happened. Watching these guys and being Father Wesley at the same time. But what was wonderful is they're like, okay, Jasmine, just remember to scream a little bit more. Okay, Jasmine, bring it down. And I scream in between your lines. And like, can you give us some more like, no, don't scream too. I was like, oh my God, she's going hoarse.
Yeah.
She's going to go hoarse.
Maybe 5 or 8 times, I thought, I'm about to faint just from screaming. Like, it's like from going into labor and like, you
and
know,
breathing.
Remember ladies' night, I almost fainted into the fire. Do you remember I had to do wild lines
wild
for the
lines.
Birth? They made me do the wild lines of birth. And it just takes a lot of air out of you. And I just thought, oh, crap.
You said
I'm going head first into the fire. Here I go.
At 1:45 in the morning, by the way.
Yep.
We had been shooting all day. That's right. And they were like, oh, we need to get more labor sounds.
Do you know, side note, they made me do those labor sounds again in ADR. I said, wait a minute. Remember you guys, we all texted that day. And then I didn't text back because I was exhausted. I was like, I need some water. Do you guys have some Gatorade? Oh. I need some sugar. Like, just being pregnant, giving birth. But it was, you know, there's one funny moment, and I hope you guys catch it when you watch it. I mean, you've already seen it by this point. We're talking about it. You've seen it. When I'm giving birth and Dulé slaps me, and I said, and I come out of character, and I said, that shit hurt. And they used it. But that was not acting. I was like, God damn it, that shit hurt. So just know that it's a lot of realism going on in that birth scene. It's like, you know, we really were method actors. We just really went there. And, you know, and also to have, I mean, we can say this, right? To have James deliver the baby. It just seemed right and so wrong all at the same time.
I have to add, there was a lot that happened in the scene with all of you that, granted, most of it was on the page, but there was a lot of, like, you guys were adding and throwing in all kinds of stuff. The whole bit where, James, I could never get through this, where he's like, he bit my finger.
But he didn't. He just meant teeth. He couldn't have bit your finger.
Yeah, he wasn't in the script. I was like, what is he saying right now?
He said, you don't want to. He said, I want to see the baby. I don't want to. No, I don't want to see it.
You're going to have to do it.
And Dulé being like, close your eyes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to look away.
He was like, how do I deliver a baby and don't look? I mean, it was a really great way to bring little baby into the world.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like on any other show, this would have been absolutely ridiculous. But on this show, it was ridiculously right. It was the right way. It was the right circumstance. It was the right moment. It was in the right location. And now, you know, Gus and Sean's relationship is now taken to a whole nother level. Because obviously, you guys watched the movie. You know, they're trying to work through how do they remain best friends when Gus is getting a wife and a baby. Like, how does that happen? And Sean made sure that he was involved. And he was, you know, unbeknownst to him, he was going to have a major role in his best friend's baby's birth. It's actually very poetic. It was the most ridiculous, hardest scene I've ever had to shoot, mainly because of screaming for 2 days straight.
But you got to bite his nose.
I also got
you, and you got to bite his nose. So,
I got his ass back.
Yeah, there's that.
Let me tell you, I got him back. I feel like I ended on top with the biting of the nose. Oh, and I slapped him back, too.
Oh.
Like, he slapped me, and I slapped him back. That shit hurt. But, yeah, it was fun, and we all got to do it together. It's a group baby. It's like a group project at school. It's everybody's baby.
It's your baby.
It's a group baby.
You birth the baby, but it's the psych. We have a psych baby.
It's the psych baby.
We have a psych baby.
It's our psych baby. It is.
I really hope we get to make a million of these.
And come to think of it, how they edited it, because we know that there's – it's just the process of shooting anything, then the way they edit it together, and there's time and blah, blah, blah. That scene at the end, though. So we don't know that the actors know that baby's name. but the viewers don't, do we?
Right.
Because there we have that baby a has a name.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't think that made it to the final edit.
Wait. Oh.
That scene actually. So for all the psychos out there, yeah, there was another scene. That's so fascinating. Which, not say?
I don't think we do because the it was in that EMTs scene. Come in, you know, you don't present, you know, baby Guster to say this is blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going to say that baby's name.
I don't think we do because that scene got cut.
Yeah.
Which, if we're all going to be sharing the love, is a beautiful, beautiful Juliet.
Yes.
Moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, and when I saw that, I picked up my phone and I texted you, Maggie, because I was like, to see what Juliet has to go through and know where she is in her life's journey to be with Sean, to see Selene and to see Gus and moments, if we're all at jumping off places of our next step of what's next and we see Lassiter of what's next, because I really have to think about, you know, what's next. And the chief has to think about what's next. Juliet has this moment of really, is this what's next? And that concern and that conflict of emotions.
And pain. It was
intense. It really was. And I remember both of you just being so wonderful and supportive. At one point you grabbed my hand, Kirsten, and Jasmine, I remember you looking at me and saying, think of Levi.
It was something like when you first came to meet Levi.
Well, I'll tell you what was so fresh in my head, too, was Jasmine is an amazing cook. And we had heard so much. We all share a love of food. And we had heard so much about Jasmine's steak. Wait, her filet.
The carrots.
Oh my gosh, the potatoes. So one night, and I will always remember this night too, we had such a good time. You guys actually helped me put an audition on that night.
That's right.
You were directing, Kirsten. I was decorating and reading.
Yeah, I'm reading.
Well, oh, you brought me props. You guys brought me props. We like set the whole thing up. But that night, we all got to have time with Levi before he went to bed, and we were just we were playing with Kermit. He had his Kermit. He wanted his Kermit shirt.
His Kermit T-shirt.
Yep. And it was a really wild, this whole movie, all of our experiences. And again, coming off of what we had very different quarantines, because I didn't even realize I didn't fill out all the proper paperwork and everything.
Oh my God, don't say that now.
Oh, well, I think we're all right now.
I think we go.
I was like the only one who didn't get a visit from
the Canadian police.
Yeah.
The Canadian police come for everyone who has not had to travel to Canada during quarantines. You have to stay in your house for 14 days. You cannot step out. You cannot go anywhere. And they call you to make sure you're in the house. And then they surprise you with a ding-dong visit at the door. They want to see your passports. They want to make sure, you know, they take a quick glance inside, right, to make sure everything's kosher. So I had one and Kirsten had one. And we're like, Maggie, you're next, girl. And she was like, nope.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So she's like, what? Down.
She's like, nobody called me. Nobody called me. Nobody came.
No.
Oh, homegirl didn't fill out the paperwork, y'all. She just didn't fill out the paperwork.
She didn't download the app. They didn't even know that she was in it.
She
was
there.
We have an app on her phone that they can track us.
I still do. Arrive Can is still on my phone.
It's still on my phone.
I just got back from Vancouver, and you absolutely still have to do the Arrive Can app that I never had to do in the first place. You still have to do it now. But how did I get in?
They just were like, you're pretty, girl. Get on in there.
Looks like you're going through a lot.
But we do.
You had a long quarantine.
You look like you're going through a lot. You know what? You've had enough today.
Welcome back to life.
They saw Pina. They saw Pina. Like, you're cute. Just
yeah, they saw. There. They saw. Speaking of,
Pina.
That was so funny. But I remember getting to my second quarantine location, because my first one, if you guys remember, was a nightmare. I think you could quarantine somewhere for 2 weeks, and then I was going to move to where, kind of, Kirsten, where you were all going to be.
Your final destination.
But I wanted a yard for Peanut. Yeah, exactly. And that was a nightmare. And I was actually able to move. So I did get to go outside once during my quarantine to move to the building where Kirsten, we discovered we were a couple floors apart and could go out to our balconies wave and talk to each other. Yeah, we had like our little little catch-ups, and we were comparing our days of did you work out yet? Did you
Are you still drinking?
Did you ever stop drinking? I know.
And you and I were quarantining alone.
Yeah.
And Corbin was quarantining alone.
Oh yeah, Corbin.
Oh my God, that'll be a whole other podcast.
But I can't even. I'm silent.
Yeah, right. James was already in Canada, so right. He didn't have to quarantine. And then Jazz and Julie were quarantining as a family. Tim was quarantining as a family. So we were all having these different quarantining experiences. But our little group text was like saving me.
Some of those lonely days
of like, I haven't seen a soul, but I know our aptly named group text space is just like as we check in on each other.
Yeah.
And I remember because Jasmine was there first, I came the next day, Maggie came the next day. So we were all like one day apart. Day 9, I think, is when we all were like, I'm going to kill somebody. Yep. I'm just absolutely going to kill somebody. You could do fine for that first week. You know, it was a little different. Then we had to do our second test. And then it was just like, let me out. I'm almost out. Day 14 is right there. But I remember day 9 was just like, I think I'm just going to drink.
Like most time in quarantine experiences, mine was just so different because I had Levi. It's like, even when COVID first happened and everything locked down, people were like, I'm binging this. I'm sleeping. And I was like, I am still waking up at 6:30 with a 9-month-old. And it was very similar in Canada. It's like he was 2 at, you know, he had just turned 2, but it was just so busy. And that made me want to run out of the house. I was like, I would just really like to go to the grocery store. I just would be a vacation if I could just make it to the grocery store. And at one point I was like, no one would ever know, Dule, if I just went to the grocery store. No, I promise you. He was like, Jasmine, go take a nap. It's fine. I'll watch Levi. It's going to be fine. And we were so fortunate that we had a house with a yard. So it wasn't even like we were confined in a small space. We knew going in that we needed space for Levi and, you know, we have a circus coming to town, so we have a lot of stuff and cribs and this and, but still,
yeah,
the restrictiveness of knowing I cannot step past that sign right there, it will drive you crazy.
Yep. I think that's it. It's sort of just knowing that, like, I'm not allowed. Even if it was like, this is amazing. I'm just like going to be in, I'm going to rest for the next 14 days. I'm gonna, like, there's something about being like, you cannot leave your doorway. I remember them saying that at the building, Kirsten. They were like, you can't be in the hallways. We had to put our trash like outside and shut the door. But I'm with you guys. I think it was like day 9, day 10, where I felt that I think my mind's playing tricks on me a little bit. Like I'm starting to feel, I don't know if it's that I knew the end was coming, but you know, they changed the schedule. So I got out of quarantine at midnight and I had to be at work at the next morning. I think they were trying to give us a buffer day just to like not have the shock of going from quarantine to like a set of 150 people. But I loved. It was completely fine. I just wanted to run and hug all of you. Which by the way, I got in trouble for the second I arrived on set.
I ran
to hug someone. They're like, nope, no hugging. Oh, and remember the little pager things we had?
Oh, we had to wear those little, discs. They would buzz if you got too close to somebody.
If you got closer than 6 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I'm like, at one point I was like, you know that I'm about to give birth and that James is literally going to be, I think we're okay.
Like, I think we're all going to be on top of each other.
I think we can hug. I think that this is an exception. And we did anyway. The three of us every single day would run in slow motion in the middle of the trailers and hug each other. Mm-hmm. Ha! What are you doing here? Funny to see you here. Oh my gosh. Hey, Megan, what are you doing here, Megan? So I will say that out of all of my working experiences, the psych set is the most familial. It's the most like people care about each other outside of this very slim moment in time. And I had the pleasure of knowing you guys and building a relationship on some level before I became Saylene. You know, so it was like I was stepping into, I knew Tim longer than I knew you guys because our children were in the same school for middle school. So it's like I knew Tim, I knew James. James was one of the first people that Dulé introduced me to, followed by Maggie. Kirsten, you were not.
I didn't get there.
I know, but you got there. But we got there. We got there. So we all are invested in each other's life. I was telling somebody the other day, it's like family. It's like a bunch of cousins. And we don't need to see each other every day. We know that we all got each other's back when it comes down to it. If you need something, I'm going to be right there. If I need something, I know that you will be right there. I can tell you guys stuff. You guys can tell me stuff. And it's like that with just all of us.
Yeah.
When COVID first happened, I dropped off a box of toilet paper to Tim's wife. Do you know, like, we're family. This is beyond this program now. And so now when we come and we haven't seen each other because we've been quarantining for 2 weeks or, you know, we're going to hug because we're family.
And fall apart if we need to. I mean, by that day we did that night shoot, our ladies' night shoot, I think all of us, it was like a lot of stuff that just sort of like came to, and I think, Jasmine, sort of what you're saying is like, that is that feeling of like, I'm safe here. Like, I can just be. I don't have to put on anything for anybody. So therefore, we cry.
So, So we cry. Because life is hard. Life is hard.
But we
cry because it's joyful too. And it's like, because once we release that emotion, we know what's immediate being replaced with is joy.
Comfort.
And peace. Comfort and that strength.
Yeah.
Support.
From
so
that
much
family.
Support.
It just slides right in.
You know, you guys are really, really supportive and special. You know, I joined something that was already working. And I do want to say thank you that you guys never one time made me feel different. You just made me feel like you guys were missing me all those years and that I was finally there.
But
and
we were. It's not like fitting in. It's like there was another piece that we didn't even know we were missing. Exactly. And then she showed up.
There's the Shel Silverstein of like, well, what's that missing piece?
Yeah.
Oh, there
Jasmine!
It is.
I love you guys. You guys
I love
are the
you
best.
Both so, so much. The memories and the impact of being able to have that time with you guys on this movie is just, it's a truly one of my favorite psych experiences. So thank you for doing the special Ladies Night Psych 3 This Is Gus podcast. And I will also say, is there anything else you want to add?
Oh, go buy my book. Thank you.
Because I plug it.
Most Perfect You is out. And I'm going to have to hang up soon because I got to pick your nephew up from preschool. But I want to say Lena's Shoes Are Nervous was one of the books that I read to Levi to prepare him. I promise you I did. And so while you're buying my book, go ahead and pick up Kirsten's husband's book. It's a beautiful book about how Lena's shoes are nervous to start kindergarten. And so we read that book to Levi and we told him it was okay to be nervous. And so I just want to say thank you for telling me about that book. And when you buy my book, buy both.
Buy both.
Because they're both
great books.
Buy more books. That's our thing. Buy more books.
Buy more books. Read. It's fundamental.
Read. Okay. I love you, ladies.
Love you.
Thank you. And happy Psych 3, everybody.
Happy Psych 3.
Thank you all so much for listening to the Ladies Night episode of The Psychologists Are In. Please feel free to message us on Instagram at The Psychologists Are In or our Twitter at Psychologist Pod. While you're at it, follow us on TikTok because we're that cool at The Psychologists Are In. See you guys next week for episode 4.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.